We started out last week looking at the temptation of Christ and how our Lord dealt with his adversary, and kind of moving along here, and how does the Lord deal with his adversary, part two, I guess you could say, and continuing through Matthew 4 here, and looking at how the Lord directed. We already looked through last week the first two temptations that came the Lord's way, and we see that. The Lord demonstrated to us the strategy we must follow in order to defeat the adversary and his attacks in our lives. Now, we know that. The children here maybe don't sense that or are not specifically attacked by our adversary yet, but that day's coming, right? We know that. And that's why we're preparing them, their minds, their souls, especially reaching them with the gospel at a young age, because we know what's coming in the days ahead. We know what's about to happen in their lives. But for us that are grown, and we already know what the adversary will do and how he attacks us specifically in our lives. Now, as he confronted our Lord, we saw these temptations take place. In that first temptation, Satan attacked Christ's loyalty to the will of God, and he used the lust of the flesh. He wanted him, as we said, to do a right thing in the wrong way. And that's what the adversary, he's very subtle, isn't he? He wants to do the right thing. You're doing the right thing, Tim. You're doing it right. But is it God's will? Is it God's way? And that's something very cautious to us, all of us. We know that. So attack Christ's loyalty to the will of God. And the adversary will always do that, always. He'll always tell you the will of God is too hard, it's too uphill, it's too difficult, and getting outside of God's will is much easier. The second temptation came shortly, we know, after this. And the devil did not appeal to his physical weakness created by hunger, but to the strength of a spiritual life. When the adversary can't get you physically, he appeals to your spiritual life, and he'll attack your spiritual life. I don't know about you, but you ever find it very difficult to read the Bible, spend time with God, be alone in prayer especially? You try and pray for just 5 minutes alone, man, you're just struggling. You're going, and if you don't have a list, usually, I mean, you're going, and Lord, let me think of something else here. The adversary wants to attack your spiritual life, doesn't he? And as we know, every time we step out by faith and do something for God, what happens? He comes and attacks us, doesn't he? Something bad happens. Something always happens. And we chalk that up not as a discouraging thing, but as a positive. We say, well, okay, the adversary's upset with what I'm doing. That's a good thing, because that means I'm going the direction of the Lord. Satan attacked Christ's trust in God. Used the pride of life. Since he could not break Christ's loyalty to the will of God, he went after the strength of his resolve to do God's will. Now, thirdly here, we're going to see tonight, the attack of Satan used the lust of the eye. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Now, notice verse 8, if you will. It says, and again, the devil taketh them up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now this third attack, we know, shows him. He cast off all his disguises, and relying on his many victories he had won in the past, Satan asked Christ to worship him, if he would do what he wanted him to do. Now we see here something very interesting. The adversary clearly says, Satan says, I will give you the kingdom. Does that mean Satan had control of those kingdoms? I believe he does. We know that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 in particular, the God of this world, that's our adversary. We believe it. He is working diligently in the hearts and minds and lives of the world leaders today. Okay, we know. So we think through that. I won't get into some of that stuff tonight, but we see he attacks through the lust of the eye. Now, Satan attacked Christ's loyalty, number one, to his specific mission. In this last futile effort, he tried to prevent the Lord from accomplishing the work he came to do. Satan said, I'll give you all of this stuff. You don't have to go to the cross. I'll give you all the glory. I'll give you everything you want. Very interesting. I read this morning in my Bible reading, Luke chapter 5, it says Jesus came walking by the Sea of Galilee. And he saw the guys there in their ships, and they were mending their nets and such. And he said, hey, Peter, I'm going to get up into your boat. You cast me out, you know, about 10, 15 feet, and then I'm going to preach to the people on the shore. And Peter said, oh, absolutely, no problem. He does so. And after he's done preaching and teaching, then they get back into the boat, and he says, why don't you fellas, Peter, James, and John, get in your boats, and let's go out into the middle of the lake. and go fishing. And Peter says what? Lord, we've toiled all the night, have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down my net. So they go on and let down the net. You know the story. They can't even bring in all the fish. It said a great draught of fish. They pulled up. The boat began to sink. What does Peter do? Peter falls on his knees and says, Lord, I am a sinful man. Sinful man. So they get back to the shore, and what takes place? Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says they forsook all, A-L-L, and followed him. And I thought about that, talking about this here. When a spiritual person, a saved person, has given everything they ever wanted, what would Peter and James and John ever want? They wanted the fish to make money. That was their whole life at work. They were given everything they ever wanted. If you're spiritual, if you're truly saved, what happens? You turn from that and turn to Christ. You go, I don't want that. I see now what having everything in this world is like. I know what it, I see it's futile. It doesn't bring anything to me. You turn in. Now an unsaved person or a saved person who's not spiritual, unspiritual person, when they're given everything they want, what do? They push Christ to side and serve that, which is mammon. We know that. And Jesus says that. But thinking about this, you and I, we follow Christ. Christ's specific mission. Satan's trying to get us off of the specific mission. We already are saved. We already know Christ is our Savior. We already know what He wants us to do. Now we follow, don't we? Now the adversary comes immediately. And what does he do? He tries to distract us. He tries to discourage us. He tries to frustrate us and do all those things to take us away from our mission. What is our mission? We know that. To do what Christ has called us to do. To follow Him wholeheartedly. Crucified life. Now we think about Peter, James, and John, you know, went on to serve Christ. And interestingly, just a side note too, the only other time Peter goes out fishing is when? At the end of the book of John, when he says what? I go a-fishing. When he's discouraged and frustrated, he went back to what Jesus said, don't go back to. He went back to what Jesus called him out of and out from. And shame on you and shame on me as Christians for going back to what Christ called us out of, to serve Him. But if we're not careful, the adversary will deceive us and we'll go back. He took him, first of all, to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Notice that, verse 8, all the kingdoms. I wonder what the exceeding high mountain was. You ever think about that? Where'd he take him to? Everest? I don't know. He takes him up and says, I will show you. He shows him a vision. I believe personally, all the kingdoms means all the kingdoms of all of history. I believe he passed by Jesus, all of that. And he did that for a reason, to try and get him from his mission. By his supernatural power, he transported Christ, we know, to that mountain, caused a vision to pass before his eyes. The Lord, of course, was able to see far more than the devil was able to show him. We know that. He then made his offer to give him all those kingdoms. I'll give you if you'll worship me. He claimed the right to those kingdoms. Verse 9. Two, he acted in the authority of his title, the prince of this world, we know. The Lord referred to him as this in John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Be cast out. John 14:30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. So we know this world is controlled by our adversary. We know that. Now we as Christians are not of this world. There's a sticker came out, I think maybe 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever. Not of this world. And you think about it, we're not of this world. We're not here. We're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, right? We know that. We're trusting. Don't lay your roots down in this world too deep. You know you're not going to be here very long. The adversary is here. He's in control. The Lord referred to him as this. The devil has limited authority over those who are in darkness. Those that are in darkness tonight. Ephesians 2, verse 2, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we understand that when we trust him and follow him and keep our specific mission we've been given, he has no control. And we know he will flee from us eventually. He offered Jesus a shortcut to the kingdoms without having to suffer to gain them, we've been through some of that. I won't go into it. But not only that, number two, Christ quickly and easily repelled this temptation. Verse 10. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now again, referring back to the book of Deuteronomy, as you know, he's calling out the Bible, the Word of God. It is written. It is the Word of God that we've followed. It's the Word of God we fall back onto. We go back to. It should be. He gave a command to the devil, calling him by his name. Get thee hence, Satan. Get thee hence. Satan, we know that. Slanderer, false accuser, liar, deceiver, adversary, meaning of Satan. The Lord had proven his strength to resist him in the other attacks. Now he orders him to leave. He had this authority as a man because of his victories. Now notice that. He didn't command him in what? The deity. He commanded him in the man Jesus. Again, once again, as Jesus did throughout the New Testament, the gospel account leaving us an example. That's what he does. I've given you an example to follow. Yeah, but I'm not I'm not sinless. I can't know. Jesus said, that's not what I'm saying. You follow me as a man here. I'm giving you that example to follow. Now, wonderfully, we know he was sinless. He was our Savior. But give him a command. Get thee hence. Now, we know the same for us. James 4:7, as we said before, and you know very well, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. We have control and power over that as a believer. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We know that. But he says, get hence. Get thee hence. Submit yourselves. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. The Lord refused the devil's suggestion and revealed how he would get the kingdom. The devil had said, worship me and I'll give you the kingdoms. The Lord said, I will receive the kingdoms not by worshiping you, but by evicting you from them. We know that. And that day's coming very, very soon. The Lord saw through the devil's lies. Let me say thirdly here again, he used the sword of the Spirit, the written word, to repel the enemy. To repel the enemy. It is only through this that we can repel the enemy. The Lord revealed that worship and service go together. And the Lord chose to serve God knowing what lay ahead. Very interestingly, Jesus chose and could have chose the way of Satan. We know he did not in his deity, but we do know that he chose rather to suffer, didn't he? The will of God for us, according and specifically 1 Thessalonians and other areas of the Bible, one part of the will of God is that we suffer, isn't it? We suffer for his sake. Jesus said, I'd rather go and suffer and do the will of God, the specific mission that I've been given, than serve Satan, than serve self. The Lord totally defeated Satan and he departed from him. The devil leaveth him. Angels came and ministered unto him, verse 11. So we know that. The Lord demonstrated to us the strategy we must follow in order to defeat the devil's attack. Now, our youngsters, again, as I said, they may not understand all that. They may not have those spiritual attacks, but we do know when they have something or they spew out maybe an attitude or something of that nature, we know something's going on. And we understand that in and of ourselves as well. The adversary works constantly in the life of the believer. He can never possess you, but he can oppress you, can he? Constantly oppresses us, pushes us down, tries to irritate us, tries to put a thorn in our flesh, tries to discourage us, tries to step out by faith, and he's there to trip us up. So we understand the key to it is referring back to Scripture. Jesus Christ left us a strategy. We can fulfill the will of God, and we can fulfill the specific mission he's given us to do. Whether the devil comes at us with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, with all these, we know. He gave us an example to walk away successfully. Adam and Eve did not walk away successfully, did they? They failed. Many people in Scripture failed utterly. Samson failed utterly. You think about it. We have a lot of characters in the Bible that did not fail. They stayed the course. They stayed true. And they understood that. And we know that. And then let me say just lastly here briefly, I wanted to talk a little bit about knowing our enemy in more detail and how he targets us. We saw how he targeted specifically Jesus Christ, but he targets us. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice this with me. In 2 Corinthians 11, the entire chapter of 2 Corinthians 11 is a wonderful chapter, and it's a great warning to us. I'd encourage you to read it in your free time, but 2 Corinthians 11, notice verse 3, he says, but I fear, this by any means is the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we've not preached, that's Satan. Or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, that's of the devil. Or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, that's from him, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not whipped behind the very chiefest apostles. And he goes on, talks about some things. Notice verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. There's the subtlety. And no marvel, for Satan himself, there it is transformed into an angel of darkness. Does it say that? To an angel of what? Light, doesn't it? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, demons, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now again, knowing our enemy, the first target that he goes after primarily is the mind. The mind. It's part, we know, of the image of God. Colossians 3:9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge in the image of him that created him. So our minds, he tries to affect our minds, doesn't he? First thing that happens, you don't go out and blatantly sin, fall into something. What happens? It starts up here, doesn't it? Your mind. He wants to attack our minds, distort our mind, disrupt our mind. All those things that he's trying to do in our life. The one thing that he uses greatly today, we know, is through entertainment, through media, through other avenues. He uses that to attack our mind. That's what he's doing. That's what Paul says here to the church. Be careful, because he transforms himself. Now, he's talking about talking to Christians. You know that. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to unsaved people in the book of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He's talking to saved people, right? In the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he calls them saints. They weren't living like saints, but they were saved. What he says here, be careful, because the adversary won't come to you, pitchfork, horns, and a black coat. Comes to us very subtly, doesn't he? Very subtly. He ministers. Now, he says, be careful. They preach another Jesus, receive another spirit, or another gospel. Stay away from it. You know it's not from us, Paul said. It's not of us. That's part of the image of God, our mind. Number two, it affects our whole being. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think about is who you are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? It's what's in here, isn't it? It's what's in here. And we understand that. It affects our whole being. So again, coming back to you, what does the adversary attack? For the Lord Jesus Christ? We know it's a world, flesh, and devil. For us, it's a world, flesh, and devil. More specifically, though, he begins to attack our minds. He'll attack our body. He'll attack our spiritual aspect, our heart, and other areas. We're going to look at those at a later point here. Affects our whole being. Isaiah 26:3, for thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You want to have a correct and directed and focused mind? Keep it on Christ. How do I do that? You figure it out. I don't know. Songs, memory verses, Bible, all of that helps us. As kids, you kids are reading pretty well now. You know how to read well. Girls are learning how. And you think that you've got to spend time in Scripture, don't we? Don't wait for mom and dad. You start reading the Bible like you should. We'll catch up later, right? We'll catch up. But you think about it, he says what? Let me hasten here. He communicates his truth to us, and he communicates his will to us. Now, you know, in Philippians 4:8, he says, think on these things. Goes through a list of things. See if things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise, think on these things. So it's where God communicates. Talking about the mind. He communicates his truth, communicates his will. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind, right? Your mind. Your noggin. I guess you could say, right? No noggin. No. Your old cranium there. Thinking about your truth, the truth he gives. It's imparted to us. Satan knows the tremendous power of the mind. Satan tries to capture it for himself. Read something just recently, a little book, and about that talking about Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler says he started out, and you know this, you've done some research on it, but Adolf Hitler started out, what? It all started up here. He started to think about this stuff and let it fester, and he was so frustrated and angry with World War I and how they had been completely just torn apart and mocked by the entire world, and he thought he'd take it upon himself. Now, there's a lot of characters behind Adolf Hitler and all those things, but you think about it. It started in the mind, and what it did to an entire world, not just him, but many other characters, they were involved as well. His truth is communicated to our mind. His will is communicated. Satan tries to capture this for himself. He targets the mind. Now, just one thing here. The weapon Satan uses to target the mind blatantly lied. He will lie, and he will lie to you, and he uses lies to do so. Now, let's go to John chapter 8 here, and we'll start to wrap it up. John chapter 8, verse 44. Notice what he says is Jesus speaking, as you know, John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil. The lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Underline that. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. That's true, isn't it, today? Because I tell you the truth. Paul will later say, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth to the Galatians? Have I become your enemy? That's true. They turned on Paul because he gave them the truth. And he was telling them, why are you going back to what I taught you? What are you going taught you to come out of? And now I become your enemy because I gave you the truth, right? Now, thinking about this, Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. He's a liar. He's a liar. Satan's weapon is lying. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. One way to deceive people is to lie, right? No other way. Am I going to deceive you? So I have to lie to you and or about you and or the situation at hand.
I have to lie. We know he lied to Eve. Genesis 3, you know that. He questions God's word and God's goodness. He denied God's word, verse 4, and he has substituted his own lie, ye shall be as gods. And as we've put it before and you've heard, he caused doubt, then he denied it, and then he deified self or deified man. I'm my own God. I'll do it my way. And we understand this. This is what he does with our minds. Can I caution you tonight? Be careful about your mind, what you allow in there. You have your eye gate and your ear gate that we must be very cautious about. Put a guard up at each one of those, what you're allowing in and what you're allowing out. And thinking about it, he deceived by using an imitation. He has a false gospel. He has false ministers and he has false believers. I know that's a shock to some of us, but he does have false believers. Not everything that glitters gold, not everyone that says, I love Jesus, is saved. Wicked, evil people that are trying to distort and ruin the local church and trying to cause and wreak havoc. We know Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached, let him be accursed. He has false righteousness, false doctrines, and a false church. We know all of that. And so we see here, he even has a false Christ, 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 10, a false Christ. And we know that's coming one day. There will be a man that stands up when the world is falling apart and everything's going haywire, and there will be a man stand up and say what? I am here to help, and I know the remedy to it all. And we call that man the Antichrist, don't we? He's everything that opposes God, opposes Christ. And all those people that are going to stand up, that will unsaved people, but they do know their Bible, are going to say, well, I think the Bible says something different. Oh, you don't need that? Put that aside, man. That's ruined our country. That's ruined the world that Bible has. Isn't he going to say that? He's got a false Christ. He has false Christ this very day, this very hour. There's a man over in Ukraine. If you can research this guy, I saw him just recently. He's crazy. Ukraine. And he has hundreds of people following him. He has long hair, wears a white robe, and he, you know, looks like Jesus. And he calls himself the Christ, the Messiah. He's the incarnate Christ of the 21st century. You know, this guy's a lunatic. But there's false Christs all around us, aren't there? And we know that. He led Eve to sin here, led her to sin. She made some very, very serious mistakes. We've already been through that. And then let me say here, thirdly, and we'll close, Satan's purpose to make us ignorant of both God's word and God's will. God's will comes from the heart, from his heart. Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his hearts to all generations. It is an expression of his love. It is his personal plan for each of us. He understands us. We know that. And God's will is found, we know, in his word. We'll get into some of this next week, hopefully. But as you think about it, his purpose is to make us ignorant. His purpose is to lie to us, to corrupt our minds, to lie to us, and then make us ignorant. Ignorant of the things of God. And by the way, if you're a spiritual person, he knows he can't get you. He knows he can't get you away from the Bible. But what he wants to do is make you ignorant of God's blessings in your life. Make you ignorant of the things that he's doing around you, right? Spiritual things. He's at work constantly around you. And we often, if you're like me, in an unspiritual state, will chalk it up as happen chance. Wow. Oh, yeah, that was a good. Yeah, that was good. Oh, yeah, I did miss that semi-truck by 2 inches. Ah, that was a good. You know, I'm just being serious, though. We won't chalk it. We'll chalk it up as something just happen chance. Oh, that's a conundrum. That's a coinkydink, whatever, you know. But no, it is what? It is God at work in our lives. Spiritual people that are in tune with God and the Spirit of God will say, praise God. You've been around those people and you folks are like that. Praise God for little things. Man, thank God. The other day, we got a deal on, we went out to eat. We got a deal. It was like some buy one something. And we were so, yeah, that's great. And then I didn't even think about it. And later said, oh, wait, yeah, praise the Lord. Sorry about that, Lord. You got to be careful. And we're thinking about this. But Satan is working in and around us to try and get us ignorant of his work, of the Lord's work in our lives. So first thing he attacks, with our Savior, the world of flesh and the devil, he knew he couldn't get Jesus Christ, but he did so to try and what? To prove to us that Jesus couldn't handle it. No, Jesus did handle it. In his humanity, by the way. And Jesus referred back to the Word of God. We go back to the Word of God. And for us tonight, he will attack world, flesh, and devil, bring those to us. But he works. The first point for us is the mind. We're going to look at next week a little bit more. And we're going to see how he attacks the body. And he tries to get us to defile the body, doesn't he? To defile our bodies. To use it for his glory. Satan's glory. To use it to enhance his agenda.
if we're not careful. I want to encourage you with that. All right, I'll stop there. Thank you for listening, though. You did well, kids especially. Thank you. And be careful this week. Spend time with the Lord and be careful. Watch out. Have discernment about you, about the things of God and what He's doing around you and in your life. And you'll be so glad that you did. But it starts by spending the proper amount of time in His Word and around Him and with Him. All right, let's pray tonight. Lord, thank you again for an opportunity to share your word. I pray that tonight, Lord, you'd help all of us, help me myself to apply the word of God as we've seen tonight. He's trying to attack our minds, Lord, especially tonight and in the world we live in. He wants our minds because he knows if he has our minds, Lord, those others will follow. And we ask for your help. Strengthen us in your word this week. If we need to listen to it in our car, we need to turn it on at night with our headphones. If we need to Lord, sit down and specifically cut time out each day to just read your word. Give us strength to do that discernment. Lord, we want to discern the work around us, both blessings and, Lord, also the attacks. Give us your strength and wisdom in that. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Bless us now the rest of our week. Thank you for those that are so faithful. In Jesus' precious name, again, amen and amen. Thank you.